episode 147 of
Brutal Battle.
Yeah, and as we like to do, as I say it all the time, we're bringing new voices on the show constantly, and the Brutal Battle people said the name. Once again, there are new folks. We have, to my right, on the patented Brutal Battle couch, Shane McCarthy, and to my left, not on the patented couch, but close to it, almost close enough to, well, close enough to touch it.
I'm touching it right now.
Is a man by the name of Ross Miller. Now, these folks, I believe, are, as you said, Shane, partners in crime?
Yeah, I'd like to think of it that way. Yeah.
Not actual crime, people. It's yeah. fun.
Well, you know? Sometimes actual crime, but
yeah. So, you guys work at Ronnie's Beverage Warehouse, correct?
Yes.
It's still warehouse, right? I'm sorry, it's been a little bit.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure Ronnie's Beverage Warehouse, and then sometimes we trade as Ronnie's Fine Wine and Spirits.
Oh, okay. Double naming it. Yeah. All right, all right.
But it really... We just focus on beer, so we don't care about the fine wine or the spirits.
We're fine with
the warehouse.
Well, it's really funny because actually Ronnie's is where I got my start in alcohol at all. When I was, like 2007, 2008, something like that, I was working at Ronnie's when the original Ronnie owned it, Ronnie Walls, and that's how I got my start. But I wasn't really big into beer at that point. I was just like, I was big into wine. I was huge into wine. So I kind of think back now and I'm like, man, I wish beer was as big back then as it is now. Craft beer, that is, because it would have got me into it a little faster. But the selection there is what originally got me into good craft beer.
Nice. So when you were there, who was doing like the ordering and the beer director?
That was Jim Bishop.
Okay.
Who does Jim's Bottle Works now up in Hickory. Yeah. So, and you guys are in Forest Hill.
Yes.
So yeah.
We're, I don't know, 4 miles from Jim's.
All right. So you guys are on this podcast in what capacity? As guys from Ronnie's, or also as just craft beer lovers, or also what else do you guys do? Other stuff?
For me, I think representing Ronnie's is cool, but you know, everything that I do as far as like the Beller Beer Week and supporting the Pink Boots Society. Recently started writing the descriptions for Independence Beers.
Oh, nice.
And all
Independent
of that,
being a brewery in Bel Air.
Yeah.
For 99% of the people out
Phil
in the
was, before he started the brewery, he was on the show. He did a long episode telling everyone about what his plans were for the brewery. And yeah, he's a hell of a guy. So that's nice. Awesome. That's an awesome partnership.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So I would like to represent craft beer in general and you know, all things craft, and obviously supporting Ronnie's and what we've tried to build and continue to build there for sure.
And from what I hear, your names come up a lot actually.
Good.
And that's kind of how I ended up reaching out to you and saying, hey, you want to do this? Because there were a few people who were like, oh, you know who you should talk to? This guy Shane McCarthy. And I was like, okay. So I'd heard your name a few times, and then I eventually was like, yeah, let me just call that guy up and see if we can get this going. Cause, always down to talk to craft beer-minded people, especially in this area, because honestly, it's still very fledgling. It's hard to find people who really know much about
it. It has potential, right?
Yeah. No, it does. That's
and
true.
That's what, stuff like this and everything else that the store's doing or Ross and I are doing, that's what we're trying to get this immediate market way more into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a task, but I feel like we're getting there, so
yeah, man. Yeah. Well, we're gonna talk about, I want to ask you guys real quick about, you know, how you guys individually got into craft beer, you know, just like a short whatever, but did you want to crack a beer? Because I know you guys probably want some.
Absolutely.
Yes,
I mean,
we do.
It was a long day of work for me, so I also
we're all doing the same one.
Yeah, cool. Just crack open a beer or crack open two or whatever you want.
You can't see it, but the look in his eyes. he just looked at me like,
All right, if it's okay with you guys, the Manor Hill.
Sure.
Hidden Hop Yard, baby.
Because this is the gym.
If you are not a Marylander listening to this,
you might
want to. Sorry.
Well, when you hear about it, you can try to get on your forums wherever you go to try and trade.
I think it's so tight, like 50 cases to distribution.
So I'm not that familiar with Manor Hill. I've had, I think, one of their IPAs before, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I just haven't tried any of their other stuff yet. So Where are they out of?
Ellicott City. Ellicott City. It's not actually, like, there's a brew pub in Ellicott City. It's not, like, in the town. It's out west of Ellicott City, I believe, and, like, on a farm.
Okay.
It's a farm brewery, and there's a few farm breweries, but this is the one that sort of has had the funding, because the family that owns the farm owns, like, a restaurant, opening another restaurant, and it's been a good home base for them.
So this looks like your typical IPA, very dark orange coloration, a little bit of a haziness
He doesn't filter.
He doesn't filter. So, nice. And filtering.
I'm okay with that. For I'm Ben, definitely okay with that.
Ben, if you're listening, it's a touchy subject when it comes to filtering with him. So,
why is that? Do people complain?
I guess people.
People that don't, like, all right, he's the brewmaster, right? So right. It's his, like, he gets the okay from the owners, and they let him make what he wants, and that's sort of his vision. And I sort of feel like that's the beauty of the industry right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then when someone is on Untappd, like, bitching that something isn't filtered, and, oh, this looks terrible, it's like, well, then don't look at it. If you just close your eyes and smell it and drink it, is it still really good? Like,
exactly.
It's just a perception thing.
Maybe you should just do the alchemist route, John Kimmich, and just say, just leave it in the can.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to look at that. You're all right.
This smells crazy. The South County we have today, actually.
The South County from is the chunky. Can. Like, this is unfiltered, but, you know.
But there's not, like, there's not a ton of stuff floating. It's just kind of hazy.
Yeah.
The smell on this is crazy good. There's so much citrus in that, like grapefruit, the grapefruit actual fruit, but the also some of the rind in there.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I perceive some mango notes in that as well, but it's like all the citrus.
Yeah,
it's super
citrus. To me, it's everything that I look for in an IPA, and a lot of times when you're, you know, have your nose in a beer and it's fruity, it can also be... have some sort of bite as far as like being too. You can smell the alcohol and the bitterness, but to me, this is balanced. And
this is actually really, really good. I took a few sips of it. I think the flavor mirrors the aroma quite well.
Yep.
It's very close. There's more bitterness. I couldn't perceive as much bitterness in the nose as I'm getting in the actual flavor, but I feel like the bitterness is warranted with how much citrusy.
Sure.
Kick there is in absolutely. The beginning of it.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, balanced. It is well balanced.
It's absolutely delicious. So Ross and I went to pick this up, what was that, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So it's three weeks old.
It's peaking right now.
Yeah, I mean,
it was fresh, it was good.
I drank one the other night, and I like next morning I'm like, Ross, like this beer is like where it needs to be.
And I had drank one that same night, and yeah.
Super juicy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just like, it's like biting into a grapefruit. And you are biting through the rind with that.
Yeah,
so that's where the bitterness is coming from. But you're also getting a lot of the juice in the middle of it. This is really nice, actually. Well, I'm glad you guys brought this because Manor Hill only had one thing before, and this is a great follow up.
Yeah.
So Hidden Hop Yard 7% did it say?
Yes. I think so.
Right. So this is a blend of what did he say? It was like three hops that they wanted to use.
Yeah. So I think what the Hidden Hop Yard is a series that Ben started, kind of his own, you know, I guess following his own ideas of what he wants to do. And he's like, this is kind of my line of specialty beers that we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Hard to get. Most of it goes to on-premise. So us being off-premise, we got a Sixel.
Yeah, we got a Sixel of this. And then the joint release was Passion Fruit. Version of their regular IPA, and we got one case of that. Again, they have the family that owns the brewery owns a restaurant, so and that restaurant is arguably the best restaurant in Howard County.
Oh, wow. Would you know
Victoria Gastro Pub?
Oh, I know of that. Have I been there once? I think I've been there once, and really did enjoy it.
It's
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like when I was a brewery rep, it's like you have to go. You know, it's one of those places in Maryland that you have to go and make sure you get some representation, and it's been a good like home base for them.
I think
nice
with having quality food and having a quality beer menu is kind of hard to find. Like a lot of times, it'll be. You know, they're focusing too much on the food, and it's phenomenal, and you go there, and you're like, oh, man, like, I'm not getting the right beer for me here and what I want.
Another right Sam seasonal tap handle.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
nothing wrong, you know, with that, but give me something more.
One of my biggest issues with fine dining establishments is they take their wine extremely seriously. They don't take craft beer seriously, like, at all. Or if they do, they only half-ass it, and they're like, I heard this is pretty good. You know, no offense, but all they'll have is, like you said, Sam Adams seasonal, and then they'll grab a few locals and be like, Heavy Seas Loose Cannon, because it's local, Sweet Baby Jesus from Duclaw, and Union's Duck Pin.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And they have such a small selection, but their wine list is massive,
yeah.
and it's, like, great stuff. It's like, come on. We're 2016. You got to get caught up because exactly. beer actually, in my opinion, has surpassed wine at this point, especially because of the ingredients. You know, wine, it's grapes and barrels.
Sure.
You know, that's about it. With beer, possibilities are endless. Yeah, thank you, Sam Cale Jones.
But to be fair, I mean, a lot of places that, like we were saying, like maybe the food's not good at a beer-focused establishment. Maybe the wine's not good. There are places yeah. that have good food and good beer and maybe not the best wine list. And,
yeah.
you know, how do the wine people feel about that?
It's about being well-rounded.
Yeah. Exactly.
And how do you get there? So,
And that's why our store has specialists for wine and beer and which is, spirits.
Spirits, exactly.
Yeah. You can't always afford that
right.
at a restaurant.
That is the way it should be. That yeah. definitely is the way it should be. And I think that Ronnie, when he set the store up originally, had that focus and... It was smart. I mean, and I see that yeah. it stayed, and it's smart to maintain. So
yeah, I mean, you can't expect your general manager to go home. First of all, you can't expect it to be visiting a decent store if the manager is not going home and educating himself.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so if people are doing that and just kind of riding the wave of learn what you can inside the store, your store's not going to grow. So you can't expect a general manager to go home, focus about reading, you know, studying for their Cicerone program, sommelier, and then a spirit specialist. So, like, it's impossible.
Yeah.
So that's
too much to drink, only one liver, only one palate. yeah. like,
it's Unless not... you clone yourself.
And then, yeah. You know. But, yeah, speaking of the whole, like, unbalanced menu versus beverage program, I think our, like, at least in our, you know, the immediate area, a couple of restaurants have allowed Ross and I to kind of consult for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see, like, the booming crafts.
Yeah.
You know, and they can't educate themselves because they're dealing with accounting and everything, bartending and everything else. So they've allowed people like Ross and I, who are a little bit more educated, to step in and say, hey, you know, plan this event, do this.
Yeah.
Which I think is helping the whole.
I hope you got paid.
No.
I think everything like that's done pro bono.
I did that for one establishment near us. Helped them with the wine early on, or I'm sorry, craft beer early on. And you know, it wasn't huge pay, but he's like, take two free mixed six packs. I mean, just, you know, just the gratitude of something small.
Yeah, and we see you know, free beer dinner tickets.
We see,
not all the time when we're in there, we're paying for our beers and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, there you so, go. The perks.
Yeah. If you knock a dollar off my beer because I.
Or you get a free one here or there.
Yeah.
Which
okay.
is good.
That's good enough.
So, real fast, Ross, how did you first get into craft beer?
When I was finishing up at in college at Towson, I just needed like a part time job. I worked at Liquor Store Festival Wine and Spirits, which is up this way.
Yep.
And it was in the old location, tiny. And then I moved to, I don't know. It was not the best spot to learn a lot about beer, but yeah. I got my Flying Dog and my Heavy Seas in there.
Their beer selection's horrid.
Yeah.
It still is.
I think it's when I go there, to me, I see one wholesaler dominating that place when it comes to the beer selection.
Yeah.
That is a perfect example of a place where they don't have educated managers/owners.
Exactly.
They don't know what they're doing. They're just like, reps tell us what to carry, which they have their motives, so they're not necessarily going to have you with the largest variety or the best stuff.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I bounced, you know, I think I was there a year. I went to Bel Air Liquors, which is,
I was there.
That was in the new location right after they moved. And then I went to Washburn Wine Company for a few months.
Wow. Okay.
Tiny, like, boutique-y distributor. Wasn't really planned out. Like, they didn't have that job planned out. So I bounced back to Bel Air Liquors, then to Ronnie's,
wow,
then to Birateca. This is over the course of, like, over 5 years.
5 days.
Yeah. Don't hire me. If you hear this, don't hire me at my job offer.
Like, damn you millennials, you can't stay at jobs.
No, it's all, I stayed at everything at least 6 months. And then Birateca, then the Jailbreak.
Nice. Good brewery.
Yeah, as like their Baltimore metropolitan area guy. And then they let me go.
Yikes.
I mean, the brewers are awesome there. Like, oh, yeah. The brewers are good. I don't know.
That's where it ends.
I mean, they do really well in their tap room. They crush in a handful of counties that are closer to them. But, you know, they still have work to do as far as, like, growing their footprint.
Yeah.
But they have talented enough, you know, staff to get them there. It's just... And then went back to Ronnie's. Not right. back to...
And you're there now.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, for the
time, that was a hell of a journey.
Yeah. Ronnie's has been probably the best job, just because, like, Jay, the owner, takes care of us. Like,
that's good.
It's cool to hang out with Shane, just talk about beer all the time.
Yeah, I can imagine it being a lot of fun when part of your job is to help people find beer that they like.
Yep.
So, Shane, what's your background? How'd you get into craft beer?
So, I mean, I started at the old Bel Air Liquors.
Yep.
And, yeah, I really don't know... I think the first craft beer I had was probably Raging Bitch, which
it's a good place to start.
Yeah, but I can tell you that I absolutely hate it.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
Like, that was terrible. Tough. So I think why I started drinking it was because I was in, you know, that environment. I think I guess it's considered craft, but not to many people. But the first, like, real beer I had was Yuengling Porter.
Okay.
And I wasn't of age. My girlfriend at the time was. So I was like, oh, yeah, that looks cool. Like,
oh, you're into cougars.
Yeah, I'm like, I was like, yeah, give me that. That looks cool. And I remember drinking it and being like, wow, this is way different. And it's kind of savory. I wouldn't call it savory now. But back then I was like, oh, my God, this is like way different from what I'm used to. And then I started experimenting. So left there and then went to Ronnie's and then. Obviously, the selection was a little bit bigger. Started to like really get into different stuff, and I think for me, it's not just about liquid; it's about the marketing, the people behind the beers, everything.
Well, remember one brief stint, which I think has been extremely helpful in like the way you view the store and the market, as like your time with Star Hill.
Yeah, like, I mean, so I was at the store for probably almost 3 years, and. Before I went to Star Hill,
And they're out of
Virginia.
Virginia,
that's right.
Yeah, Charlottesville. Or Crozet, which is a little bit...
I have to go back and try their stuff. I had it a long time ago when it was under the old head brewer, who was not good. Yeah. And I've heard that since then, dude, it's gotten really
wildly
a lot
improved.
Better.
Robbie O'Kane is awesome. And for a while, not to get too far off the subject, but for a while, the, you know, as I mentioned, the marketing and the package and everything else, it was bad. Like,
yeah.
You know,
it was bad.
That heady,
the beer was bad.
Yeah, I mean, having like a heady kind of vibe to your brewery is cool, like Oscar Blues, but they were like doing it the wrong way. I was like, ooh. And then, so I was at the store, studied about like regions of the world and the beers that was coming from those regions, and started, you know, getting like certified beer server and all that stuff. And then was like, I don't want to be here. You know, I want to be, like, out, like, selling beer. Like, I want to be in the beer world. So, left to work for Star Hill. 6 weeks later, the owner of the store was like, we need you back. And I was like, I need to come back. So, my son was just born, went back to Ronnie's. And then when I came back, you know, I sat down with the owner of the store. You know, I'm sure everyone in the neighborhood has seen the improvement of the store over the last 2 years. We made some guidelines, like, this is what I want to do. We just got our growler station. I want full control.
We didn't just get it.
Yeah,
it's been there for a while.
Yeah, so we had it. And when I came back, I'm like, you know, I want full control. I don't want, you know, 20 cooks in the kitchen trying to do this. Like, it's going to be me doing it. And, you know, since then I've went to draft school to learn how to build draft lines and organize Beller Beer Week. So this year will be the second year.
Nice.
Doing beer dinners and just doing as much as I can with craft beer.
Nice. That's awesome. So it seems like, and I'm assuming you're joining in with the cause, it seems like you guys are just trying to champion craft beer in general in the area.
Yeah, absolutely. there's, because in a healthy scene, in a really healthy environment, you can just sort of try and stake out your own claim and do your own thing. But there's, it's not established enough. We're not like settled in here as far as like the craft drinkers and buyers go. So I think it's good that there's been some collaboration,
mm-hmm.
seen some innovating around here between accounts. And a good example, Handsome Beer Company in DC, they came up, one of the guys, what was his name?
Oh man, Graham, I believe his name.
Graham. All right. If it's not Graham, sorry, dude.
Sorry, not Graham.
I didn't actually meet him. I just drank the beer.
I'm pretty sure it's Graham.
Yeah, but so we know from his time at Star Hill, my time at Jailbreak, and our combined time at an account, hey, you know, you have 3 beers, you only do Sixtals. We're not going to, we could bring you up here and you could do the event, but that drive down to D.C., from here is not very fun. And we never make Ryan Finnegan, our Ballast Point rep. We don't make him drive up for 3 Sixtals to do a thing.
16.
No, yes, it was 18. 18 Sixtals 18, is all we do. But this, so Shane got talking with, you know, not another off-premise account, but an on-premise account. So there's one bar and one liquor store. They're both featuring the beers. So now you doubled the volume and made it worth that drive. Hmm. And it allows, you know, our account and the other account to sort of co-brand and push each other's business, or push business between each other.
Nice.
So, and that's good. I mean, we have a pretty archetypal, like, small town in Bel Air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you guys are helping to kind of innovate a little bit.
I would say Shane
is innovating. I sort of, like, I have ideas, but, like, I'd say 90% of the ideas are him. I'm also planning on moving soon, so it's like...
Oh, now where are you going?
Not final yet, but Chicago.
Oh.
Which is a pretty...
Oh, you're going to hate the beer there.
Yeah. I went there for my birthday on a whim last year. My girlfriend took me there as a surprise. Easily my favorite place I've ever been. So
just don't work for Goose Island. You'll be fine.
Hey, man.
Is that exactly what it is?
No, John Laffler from Off Color.
Really?
For Goose Island. That's the thing. There's springboard accounts or springboard businesses everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like everybody, you know, that has all these cool jobs, what's the job that really set you up to have this?
Yeah,
cool job?
No, that's true.
That's what you gotta find.
That's true, that's true. Well, awesome. I think that kind of takes us up to the mystery beers at the moment. But
let's hit it.
Thank you guys for kind of filling us in on who you are, who you've been, and
who we be.
Who you want to be. Yeah. And, hey, hopefully people will feel like they know you now. And now we can jump into what everyone looks forward to, including myself, doing the mystery beers, because it's always an exercise in fun and sometimes in humility.
Absolutely.
It still happens to me. But
y'all are going to hear some wildly inaccurate reports.
We'll see about that. Sometimes people really surprise themselves with what they can pick up. But sometimes people think they can pick up more than they can't, but...
Well, I don't
it's,
have
you know.
Any delusions of grandeur there.
Wait, first, you guys each have to say some of your favorite beers. Just a few of them, because we might end up tasting it, and you'll say it's terrible when you say it's one of your favorites, because that happens all the time.
Cool. If anyone in Chicago is listening, I love Lagunitas, Off Color, I love Goose Island, Two Brothers, Three Floyd now.
Pipeworks, got
Pipeworks, yep. Half Acre. Actually, I do drink a lot of Lagunitas. Getting made fun of for how much Lagunitas IPA I'm drinking.
It's good stuff. There's a reason they're successful.
I don't know, let's bounce back and forth. You're going to remind me of one.
And it's funny because I had a... like an internet brawl the other day about these beers, and but I would have to say, because there's so much localized stuff that it's just as good. Like this Manor Hill, like, I mean, it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So for me, one of my Lawson Sip of Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
It, I mean, not to be like
yep.
fanboy, but it's so mm-hmm. that's good.
Yeah, that's his favorite it's internet hype IPA. Nice. Yeah, let's bring it back to local. RAR.
Okay.
Yeah.
RAR, I mean, which, just in general?
I mean... Yeah, I mean, obviously, Nanacoke is sort of, it's definitely their flagship, but I mean, like, I really like the brown ale. Never see it, but, like, if I do see it, I'll drink it. Oh, Monument City also has a great brown ale. I'm, like, a local enthusiast.
He's a brown ale guy.
Then, I'm a brown ale enthusiast, too.
Well, then, hopefully, you've had Cigar City's Maduro, because one of the best brown ales, period.
Haven't. Although I have had Bell's Best Brown Ale. It says best right in the name, so I'm assuming so you're just better. Like, yeah.
I'm in. Okay, best. Cool. Well, okay. So you gave us a few. That's good. We'll go off that.
Yeah.
Let's jump in right here and see what we got. Beer A is the clear one. Orangey, little yellow tinge to that oranginess, but it is super clear.
Hyper clear. Oh, yeah.
It's extremely clear.
Right through it. I can see everything right through this beer. So
my straw.
There's like no head.
Yep.
Yep.
Pretty much. Well, I'm going to swirl it up and get a... What do you guys smell?
I'm getting malty sweetness.
Yeah, it smells a little
like some caramel notes. Also, on the back, like biscuit. I'm getting like a almost ESB or Kolsch like biscuity kind of.
I don't get any of that. You know what I get? It's brutal battle. I'm gonna rip it.
Go for it, man.
I think it smells like homebrew.
It smells to me. Like a, it smells like aspirin and Pepto-Bismol, and it's got a little bit of anise in there.
Okay.
Maybe some fennel notes, which are kind of similar. Licorice.
I'm getting licorice.
See?
All those in the same vein.
That's.
A lot of honey in there as well.
Getting some honey. Is this a $5 can of
See, I don't know. Immediately when I smelled it, I got that very aggressive medicinal quality, like the aspirin-y, and I was just like, this could be some really funky, nasty Belgian-style beer.
Yeah.
Although, you know, you look at it and you're like, where's the yeast and where's the cloud?
I think it's going to be not great.
What is it?
It's weird. Honestly, like, what did I have the other day that was... Diamondback's Citronova.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be a fanboy again, I picked it up, not because I would on a normal day, but because it says Citra. And it has like that, to me, the same esters of some stuff I like, some stuff I don't.
Nice.
I feel like this, it smells like a homebrewed Belgian blonde, maybe.
Okay.
Belgian blonde.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right, let's just go ahead and taste it. I don't taste as much of that medicinal quality.
No.
As I smell. Like, it's offensive, the way, how much I smell of it.
Oh, yeah.
Very much dialed back.
The way it tastes is more, it's more the way Shane was saying, maybe some biscuit, maybe a little, you know,
I'm getting
a
like,
gold ale, like a Kolsch.
It's a little tiny, tiny bit of, like, bubble gum.
Yep. Yeah. Definite. Yeah.
On the back.
It's got that kind of, like, assy Pilsner finish,
yeah,
you know, which I'm not a fan of typically.
Some Dinkelocker.
Have you had Dinkelocker?
I don't know what that is.
It's like a German pills that
funky, not good.
Funky. I mean, for
they're like $1.69 for 16 ounce.
Yeah, I mean that's
so we used to...
There's so much honey. There's a lot of hay coming through in it as well.
Hay,
like a little alfalfa note. Really don't like that either. It's very assy on the finish, just like a little dirty dish rag-ish.
Oh,
I'm not a fan of that.
Dirty dishes, my man.
Dirty dishes are gross.
The old soggy bottom boys over here.
There's like a very slight hint of a banana quality on the end.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Like,
and that goes with this bubble gum. Your banana.
Like that.
My acetate.
Yeah, yeah.
Not huge on that.
Really. Honestly, I feel like I've had this beer Do you know what this beer is?
None of us do.
Really?
That's the
point. Oh, so okay, okay.
Nope, no clue.
Who hooks you with these samples?
No, my wife,
your
Rebecca.
Wife goes in.
She goes out to whatever store she chooses,
mm-hmm.
picks it up, and...
Says, yeah.
She did a prep
ahead. Does she choose them, or do you have a couple stores that, like, say, all right...
No, she chooses it.
She just goes for it.
Usually, she'll end up at Wine World, and my buddy Mike there will follow her around and say, well, a lot of what he'll say is, why don't you put some Natty Light in there? Why don't you put some Coors Light in there?
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't do that. But he will say, oh, this one will be good. This one will not taste so good, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, she mixes it up. So, we want all different types. So sometimes it's awesome, sometimes not so awesome. There are ones she has told me after the fact, yeah, I thought that was going to be a stinker. So maybe that's this one because
spending your hard-earned cash on
I have a feeling we've all had this beer. Like I have.
Yeah,
I have a feeling.
Yeah, but if we've all had it,
it might be local. You know, actually, what I'm thinking about that's a little too dry for what this is.
Whatever it is, I'm not feeling it. I'm ready to move on.
I'm ready to. Do we rate? Do we rate now?
You can if you want. We typically haven't.
We'll wait.
Hold off for a minute, because I also like to go back after I do B.
And retake. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But sorry, listeners, I've only heard two episodes of this show.
Fine. So, B actually kind of looks like juice. It's very, very cloudy. It's yellowish with a little bit of orange.
This is my kind of beer.
Yes.
My kind of...
You can't see through it.
It's a beautiful...
It looks healthy.
Unfiltered.
It looks like when you drink it, it's going to be good for your digestive.
It looks alive.
Yeah.
It does. And this one has somewhat of a head.
Oh.
More than sample A.
Now, what does that smell like?
Peaches.
Yeah.
Definitely some peaches.
Big, juicy.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of lemon to it. There is a skunk quality. Like, there's a skunkiness to it. But I feel like that's from a sour quality because there's a tartness that I'm getting in the smell as well.
There's a little bit of like a Brett kind of thing going on there.
Little bit of Brett aspect. Not like crazy though.
I'm getting Febreze too. Like
Febreze.
You know what I mean? Nice. Like some...
They said something on the Good Beer Hunting podcast. Mm-hmm. Like our generation associates a lot of smells that are natural with unnatural, like chemicals, like cleaning chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why really orangey beers, people are just like, ugh, it smells like cleaning.
Case in point, the last one I said aspirin, you know,
that's
not naturally occurring. But this is, other than that skunky quality, it smells very good to me. All the, lemoniness, the peachy quality, the Brett, that all smells good.
It smells like skunkiness. Fruit, and it looks like cloudy juice.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Well, let's try it. Oh, that's really light.
Yeah, it is.
A lot lighter than I thought it would be. It's like kind of, just like lays on my tongue kind of softly.
Yeah.
Wow. Hmm. I get those peach qualities.
Yeah.
I get kind of sugar.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a sugary finish to it, but not in a bad way.
And it hangs out a little bit, too, because I'm still like, It's certainly not overly, it's not like lip-smacking sweet, like.
Yeah.
It's not cloying or anything.
I expected the aromatics were funky, and I was to taste Brett or lacto or something.
Shane doesn't like it, guys. Let him down.
No. To be completely honest, yes, I was wishing it was a nice, funky, musty attic Brett beer, but it's good. I mean, it's drinkable. It's not something I would go to the shelf and pick up. I mean, I might, if it was 95 degrees outside and it was a can, I could shotgun it, but...
It looks to be a bomber.
There's a little bit of a like candied Smarties quality to it, and I think that's part of where the sugar's coming in with the citrus. I get a lot of like a lemon peel aspect out of it as well. I get a little bit of that funkiness. To me, the way this tastes, it reminds me of two different breweries. One is Allagash.
I was going to say Allagash too. Yeah.
The way that Allagash does its sours, they're not crazy sour, they're more light and pillowy like that was on its first taste. The other one it reminds me of is Omnipollo. out of Denmark, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. I've had a few Omnipollo beers that have that same type of quality with the sourness. So
to me,
that's what I think.
The Omnipollo stuff is way more aggressive with its flavor. Like those dudes.
This has a little bit more finesse.
Yeah, those dudes are like over the top, which I love, and I think so. Both of those breweries you just described. For those listening at home, I have a giant Allagash tattoo right here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of my favorite breweries.
Nice. His arm, not his ass.
It's right on my ass. You hear that, Rob Todd? It's my ass.
Leaf ass.
But, and then Omnipollo, like, and I could definitely relate with both of those.
Yeah.
I think the fruit flavors in here, I like to be able to pick out layers of fruit, whether it's grapefruit, peach, oranges. To me, when you had said the Smarties, this smells like I just took a handful of different flavored Smarties and just
knocked them
back. Yeah, it's for sure.
So it's muddy, or is
lighter? I think it's lighter.
It's light. I think it's lighter.
It's lighter in body and flavor, but I feel like the flavors are a little bit muddied together.
I'm getting a lot of peach on the nose.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
The thing for me is you get hit up front with a quick tartness, some funky aspect, and a little bit of bitterness. The middle of the flavor is all sugary citrus.
Yeah.
And then the finish is bitter.
Yeah.
But it's not crazy bitter.
Yeah.
I think it's a journey. Each sip, and it's nice. It's interesting. Because so many beers they either throw it all at you at once.
Yeah.
Or you're gonna get it like, okay, this flavor, then this flavor. This is kind of like a beginning, middle, end. It's a complete story. And I like that. That's good. And it's not, like, it's sessionable. This is easy. Like you were saying, you, in a can, you could take it down pretty fast.
This one intrigues me a little bit more than Exhibit A.
I hate. I'm not.
Hold on.
I'm not going to pull any punches. I don't like A. I think it sucks. I went back and tried A again. It is so aspirin-y, like, nasty. Like, aspirin, the worst Pepto-Bismol. It's like Pepto-Bismol times 10. It's not good. Should be pain.
See, it leaves you with a little... Yeah, it leaves you with a little bit too much where it's not like a crusher. It's not...
It literally is like if you are trying to take an aspirin or some sort of medicine, and you say you, like, start coughing, so you have to keep it in your mouth, and it starts dissolving on your tongue, and how nasty and bitter and medicinal.
It reminds me of this horror story
involving
over-the-counter pills. Oh, my God. Yeah. Can we rate now? I'm really excited to lowball the hell out of A.
We may do that. All right, so.
I think, honestly, like, the smell is so bad.
It's
like,
horrible.
It's so bad. Like,
the flavor's like, almost as bad.
It's like,
I can't. It's offensive.
There's something in there, and I keep sticking my nose in glass because I'm like, what is this? It's like a cheap the Kuiper flavor or something. You know, it's just like,
let's.
All right. Well, what are you guys gonna give one or A?
a little Freudian slip. I see.
Yeah, I'm giving it a one. Sorry.
I'm gonna hit that with a big fat Uno. Right. Absolutely.
Don't feel peer pressure. You're all right, Shane.
To me, it's like, oh my God, like, you know.
But to you, could you still drink it?
I could, yeah, absolutely. You know, if this was,
hold on, that's not fair. Can I change it to it too? Because
yeah, that's fine.
Because if I ordered that at a bar, I wouldn't finish it. But I wouldn't stop after one sip.
You do like half of it.
Yeah,
one quarter.
So I'll give it a two.
Okay. That's fine.
I think I'm going to have to give it a 2-2 because, honestly, there's very little beer out there that I cannot drink.
Okay.
Or will not drink.
Or will not drink.
it's not my favorite thing in the world. Not even in my top...
1,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Top million.
100,000 beers
in the world. Might be in my bottom 100, but... Yeah.
It's...
Okay.
I mean, it's not...
In comparison, where do you want to go with B?
Whoo, baby. A nice one.
This one's confusing me a little bit on what number. I'm kind of floating around.
Same. It's
like a nice...
It's a nice beer.
Like a nice summer breeze.
Yeah, I like it.
Georgia peaches in the air.
Southern Georgia peaches.
So, do you guys want me to go first? You want to go first? Doesn't matter to me.
What do you have to say, Ross?
I feel like if I go first, sometimes I'm potentially influencing. Yeah. But I feel like if other people go first, I'm potentially just putting them on the spot.
Yeah. So it's tough. I'd like to hit that with like a 4. Yeah, we'll just go with 4. It's
okay.
It's nice.
It is.
I would say for me, give it one more sip before I make my final decision here.
It tastes like it's expensive though.
In the meantime, that's the problem. Yeah. The meantime, I'm gonna go. I'll let you know. I'm going 6. I think that's I really appreciate that flavor journey that I was talking about. It's nice. It's nice.
For me, like Ross said, it tastes expensive. It does. Therefore, it's classy.
I bet it's overpriced though.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And honestly, I'm almost thinking it's an Omnipolo beer, which I wish I didn't think that because I would automatically rate it high because I love what they do. But for me,
that's why we do it blind. So you
it's
don't
got
do
it's
that.
Got a lot of flavors going on, which I can. They're not my favorite, but I can appreciate because there's some breweries out there that are like just butchering these fruity flavors because there's some adjuncts there, obviously. So some people are using them the wrong way. So I'd give it probably a 4. I mean, it's decent, and when I say 4, I mean it's good. It's very good, but it's not. It's a good beer. It's well constructed. Yeah. A little bit muddy on the flavors, but for me, it's not my favorite. But if someone handed me that, I'd be like, wow, this is a good beer.
And we would hand sell that. If we tried that at the store, we'd tell everyone. Oh, yeah, this is really
good. I could see it being a Stillwater, too. It doesn't taste like your typical Stillwater, but I could see it potentially being a Stillwater.
He's got some crazy stuff going on. I don't, because
I still think mainly
because we have all the Stillwaters that are in bombers, and we know it's not any of them.
Yeah, so. I'm such a fanboy, and if Brian's listening, I love you, bro. Yeah. But I don't think it's a Stillwater. I think as crazy
but
as it
see
tastes,
what,
it
see
could
the
be.
Brands we're talking about: Allagash, Omnipolo, Stillwater. It tastes expensive.
Yeah, sure. You're true. No, it's totally
well done.
Yeah,
it's definitely well
done. It's a great point. All right, well, let's go ahead. Oh, and now after I've tasted Amor, for some reason I want to say it reminds me of Maui Brewing, and I don't know why.
So for A, for me, Diamondback, hopefully you didn't pour a bottle because this can make it look like
me. No, it's a can.
So Diamondback Citra Nova.
No.
You don't think so? Or it like a really shitty Gold Ale. Like it's just not like
Diamondback Gold.
Yeah, Diamondback Gold. Yes,
something by Moab.
That's nah. You gotta lay off the Diamondback.
I'm trying to think.
Guys.
Dude,
they're good guys.
For this one, I swear. Like,
all right,
it's got that.
Let's see it. It's in a wrinkly, horrid looking bag, which is probably where it belongs.
It's been used a lot. All right, so A, the loser overall, 1.67.
Yikes. So brutal.
Do not drink this beer.
So brutal.
Okay, Brewers Art.
Oh, man.
Chop Tanked Ale with Natural Flavors. It is 4% alcohol by volume. It's a Saison. That sucks. Here's the thing. God damn it. The problem is this. They, I think, are still going through Sly Fox.
Sure.
For all their canning. Sly Fox does a terrible job with the contract brewing. Terrible job. I'll say that. Because if you go to Brewers Art in Baltimore, it tastes a lot different, and it tastes actually good, because I've had Chop Tanked, and I've had it at Brewer's Art, and it's a good beer. This does not taste anything like it, and I wish that Volker Stewart would stop having a contract with Sly Fox. Just saying.
I would agree with that.
This is awkward, because I just saw Tom Cregan.
Oh, is he with Sly Fox?
Huh?
Is he with Sly Fox?
No, Tom from Brewer's Art.
He's 50-50 with Brewer's Art. I had, actually, it's funny, because I had that beer last year at Savor with Tom, and we were talking about, like, wow, this is great, like, way more crisp, lighter body when I had it.
Do you think they changed the recipe, or that it was mishandled at
some
point?
It seems mishandled, and all those off flavors were probably coming from that honeysuckle end.
bad.
Yeah. It was...
It's a bad beer.
Well...
So let's find out what's good.
It's good when it's ice cold.
Oh, wait, okay. Well,
anything's good when it's ice cold.
That's right.
It's like Rocky Mountain water. All right, so B, the overall winner, with a 4.67, pretty solid. And I already finished my portion of it because I like it. Omnipollo.
Whoa! Hey!
Strawberry, vanilla. There
it is. It's a abracadabra. It is an IPA brewed with strawberries, vanilla, and lactose added. So the peach is awful.
None of us said strawberry, and none of us said vanilla.
6% alcohol by volume. Well, I mean, the good thing is this. You can tell it's one of their beers trying it blind.
Yes.
So they have a style that is able to be picked out.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
We were shockingly wrong on A, and, as far as like what we thought brand-wise.
Yeah.
Brewery wise, but look, everybody was on the same train.
It's funny because I had that beer.
Yeah, we had this like a couple weeks.
Yeah,
ago.
So I had it when we got back from the Oliver's can launch, and I was drunk, and I took a nap, and I woke up, and my fiance and our friend were there, and we cracked that. The what are the other two? That the blueberry sour. And I was like, wow, this beer's good. And so we tried it, I think, 2 days
and
later
the
at the store.
Yeah.
And we tried all of them. We're like, wow, these are good. So I'm surprised we didn't pick up on that.
No.
But that's,
we literally, like,
trying to blunt.
It's
different
the
trying to blunt. Totally different.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, good job, Omnipollo. Thank you very much. And, hey, Ross and Shane, thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah,
we're going to do some more. So people stay tuned if you like these guys. Even if you didn't like them.
If you don't like us.
Stay tuned.
Because you can just listen and be like, God, what a couple of idiots. Yes.
But just stay tuned because we'll have some more interesting topics to talk about. But anyway, thanks so much for checking it out. And don't forget to keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.